Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
Psalm 1 gives us a picture of the blessed man. But the blessed man's life is not always free from trials and from heartaches, from pressures, just as are other people. Studied about the life of David when he is fleeing from Absalom. His own son had usurped the throne. With a remnant, he is running for his life. Along came a man by the name of Shimei and cursed him, threw stones at him. And he had to be dependent upon the goodwill of Barzillai, who furnished him food. And so when we read Psalms 1, the blessed man there, that he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that his leaf will not wither, and he'll bring forth fruit in its season, it doesn't mean a life of ease and comfort. And we don't need to misread that. And then when you come to chapter 2, there is the picture of God being upon the throne. Round about are those that are enemies of the Lord. They're seeking to do what they can to get rid of him. Verse 6 says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill." And of course, David had been appointed king, and they were doing all that they could to destroy him. And the birth chapter closes by saying, "Blessed are the ones that put their trust in him." Now we come to Psalms 3. When you woke up this morning, what was your first reaction? What came to your mind? Psalm 3 and verse 5, the latter part of that chapter, or the latter part of that verse, David said, "I awake, for the Lord sustained me." Now this psalm was likely written the first day that David and his group had to flee because Absalom had usurped the throne and David knew that his life was at stake. And this psalm then is called a morning prayer. So let's think about this psalm as being the first morning after David had fled. And when we think about the psalm in the situation in which David found himself running for his very life, it adds significance and meaning to the psalm. Verse 1 tells us about the peril that he was in. Listen to how verse 1 goes. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And so the majority of the nation had turned against David. To the degree that he had had to flee from Jerusalem and leave behind the throne, there was the distress in which he found himself. In 2 Samuel 15:12, we read that the conspiracy was strong. And David realized the enemies that there were round about him. And there, as I mentioned, there was Shimei who saying that he deserved all he's getting. They were saying, "This is what ought to happen to you." And therefore, the peril that he was facing at this time. Now, what do you do under circumstances like that? Look then at verse 2. "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Now, that's what they were saying. You're running into the phrase, "they say." Do you ever have a problem with what people are saying? "They say." They were saying that David deserved all that was happening to him, that no longer would God bless him, and he had lost the throne because God had taken it away from him. You talk about stress and strain and pressure. There it is. But where does one look? How do you react? What do you do under circumstances like that? Look at verse 3. Not only was there peril, there was protection. Look at it. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. my glory and the lifter up of my head. Look at it. He said, but thou, O Lord, art God still reigned. He knew that. And he did not believe what they were saying about it. And he said, thou art a shield, my shield. There's protection. Can we think about in the midst of the perils that surround us, and though tongues may be wagging, that there is the protection that God gives, and he said that God was his glory. That is, God had placed him on the throne. And the lifter up of my head, he didn't believe that that throne was gone forever. God put him on the throne when it came time for him to be taken off of that throne. God would take him off of it. Not Absalom, nor the people of the nation of Israel. All of those that had joined in with Absalom, they wouldn't be able to do that. It's wonderful to be able to hold our composure in the situation as David was in. Life sometimes casts us in a situation like that. And I need to learn to be able to think like David did and to be able to act as David did. So in verse 4, David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So there's the power of prayer. There's not only perils, there's not only protection, there's the power of prayer. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. You remember when he was fleeing, that he told them to take the ark back to Jerusalem? That was a symbol of God's presence, a symbol of God's mercy, and a symbol of God's law. And so he said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. The fact that he was running, the fact that the situation was without from now in control, did not mean that he couldn't pray. And it did not mean that in spite of all that they were saying about him, that God had forgotten about him. He said, God heard my prayer. I need to learn that wherever there is peril, there is protection. I may not be saved from death, as David was, but in the midst of that, there's still protection. God is a shield. People cannot do that which in reality destroys and hurts. And while in that situation, I need to remember there's the power of prayer. There's a sense of need. He realized his need of God, and when he said, a lifter up of my head, he said, I'm not in despair. There is hope that is ahead. And so we can pray even in view of the circumstances. But now I want you to look at verse 5, and this is really the heart of what's in this psalm. Listen to it. I laid me down and slept. I wait, and the Lord sustained me. Do you have sleepless nights from stress and strain? The next time you're having trouble sleeping, the next time I'm having trouble sleeping, I do well to turn and read 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. And look at all the strain and the stress that David was under. Can you imagine? Running for your very life, knowing that if they caught you that you're going to be killed, having your own son turned against you and seeking your life. And then, to say, I laid down and slept. David did. That's peace. That's the kind of peace that God gives. First of all, there's the peace that comes from faith and trust. David believed that his life was in God's hands, that God had put him on the throne, and if, as I said, until God took him over that throne, that's where he'd be. He'd be placed back there. So his faith and his trust in God gave him courage. One would have to have courage under circumstances like this to lay down and sleep. That's the power of real faith. That's the power of prayer that believes and that trusts. That's the power of real religion. And I need that in my life because we're living in a day of stress and strain almost everywhere we turn. There are not many days in our life but what are precious from every side. But in the midst of that, I need to learn how it's possible for me to lay down and sleep, to have peace of mind and to have peace of heart. When you begin the day, and when I begin the day, do I wonder what the day will be like? Do I face the day with fear and apprehension? David said, I had a good night's sleep, and I awoke. Why? Because the Lord sustained me. Absalom didn't find me. Absalom didn't kill me. Those that were with him and were after me were unsuccessful. And the Lord sustained me. Is that the way I look at life? As I think about the day that I face, or as I begin this day, did I realize that it was the Lord that sustained me through the night? And out of that, give me an attitude toward this day. When you awake in the morning, what will be the first thing you'll think about? And as you think about it, will you say, the Lord sustained me through the night? Will that be my first thought? And as you think about the responsibilities and the dangers and the stress of the day, will you do as David did? Will you react as David did? Therefore, there was peace of mind and heart in the midst of all that was taking place. The world never can give you this. The world can add stress and strain and anxiety, but never that. Jesus said in John 14, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now mark it. Peace not as the world giveth. In other words, he said, I have some peace that the world can't provide. It tries. It offers. It deceives. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. Do you reckon the night that David fled, the night that he went to sleep, and the next morning when he woke up, in spite of all that there had been, there was a peace that the world could not give that David had. He said, I slept last night. The Lord sustained me. That doesn't come by accident. You see, David had been living a life of faith and trust through the years. He'd killed a lion. He had faced Goliath. And the Lord had sustained him through all of these. And now then, when he's running for his very life, getting away from Apple, no doubt the experiences of the past contributed to his understanding of what it's all about and the peace of mind that belonged to him. And he is able to lay down and sleep. The price that we pay for failing to allow our faith in God to trust Him, our failure to read the Bible, and to strengthen our faith, that it may be the basis and the foundation of our faith, is a terrible price to pay of the stress and the strain and the fear that we anticipate every day. I ought to learn from David that there is something about religion and one's relationship to God when it's built upon the proper foundation, that whenever the world throws everything it has at you, then there's something that God provides. God sustains. God enables one to sleep. But that's not all. He didn't panic. So there was, in the midst of peril, there was protection, there's the power of prayer, there's peace. No panic. Look at the next verse. I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about. Think about that. David said, they have thousands. I'm not going to be afraid. That comes from living, trying to live right and serve God and have one's life in relationship to God's purpose. David did not assume the kingship of Israel. God rejected Saul and he placed David there. David was doing that because that's what God wanted him to do. And he was doing that in order that he might live and serve God. Think of the odds. Think of that. 10,000 people against the number of soldiers that David had. You'd say that's enough to make you panic. Indeed it is. Except David knew some things. He understood some things. He realized that in spite of all the numbers that they had, the odds were on his side, not on their side. Did not Paul say in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? David knew that you don't get on the wrong side and ever win. He knew that wrong never ultimately wins. You can't be on the wrong side and win. And you can't be on the right side and lose. I should remember that. And therefore, in the midst of the pressures and the struggles of the day, I should raise the question, what's right? Am I on the side of right? Am I where right is? If I am, then I'll remember what David said. There may be 10,000 foes out there. And from the standpoint of the world and the eyes of men, the odds may seem in their eyes to be 10,000 to 1. But I'm not going to be afraid. Because I know what's the winning side. I know where you are to win. Isn't it wonderful to be able to think about life from that standpoint and to face the days and responsibilities of life? But then look at verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Now that's based on the promise that God had made. Go back and read Numbers, the 6th chapter, and the last part of that chapter. And God was telling them when they were being faced with battle, confronted with battle, instruction was given to Aaron the priest. And here was what he was to say. He was to say, "Let thy countenance rest upon me. Let thy countenance, let thy face shine." Look at what the latter part of chapter 6 said. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, say unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless thee." I don't think there's any doubt, at least in my mind, that David remembered what that said. And that he understood with the blessing of God. There would be that peace. And when he said, "Arise, O Lord," he realized where the victory would come from. It wouldn't be in his own strength. And therefore, there was a plea that he made for God to act. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6, James talks about the importance of patience under trying circumstances. And he talks about when you're praying, not to doubt. "He that doubteth is like the wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro." And therefore, we are to pray in the realization that God hears the prayer of the righteous. But then notice the rest of that verse. "Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." And so he's saying that the ungodly are not going to win. He knows that Absalom is doomed to defeat. He knows that those who've joined him are not going to win either. And therefore he closes that prayer or that psalm, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people." Think of that. When God blesses, you can't rob people of that. When God places his blessing upon people, you're not going to be able to harm or to hurt. Oh, I might do things from a physical standpoint that would hurt. But the things that really count, the things that really determine the issues of life, people are not going to be able to do anything about that. Even when Stephen was being stoned to death, the stones hurt his body. But they couldn't really hurt him because he saw a throne that was above, Christ on the right hand of God. And what they were doing was simply opening up a door for him to pass beyond where stones could hurt the physical body or the other things of life could hurt. Salvation, deliverance, belongeth to God, to the Lord. That's what the word salvation there means. And therefore David said, deliverance is going to belong to God. You remember how that Absalom trusted in Ahithophel, David's counselor? And then there was a man back there that David sent back. And when the question came up which one they were going to listen to, Absalom, instead of listening to Ahithophel, listened to the other one. And instead of going out after David in order that he might take him and kill him, didn't do that. And thereby, through that, salvation, deliverance was provided by God until time could be allowed for things to develop so that Absalom could be defeated. And so prosperity came to him, just as Psalms 1 said. But let us not misread the meaning of prosperity in view of what David had been through. It doesn't mean the absence of any heartache and any trial and any trouble, any stress and any strain. But it does mean ultimately God will see that His blessings sustain us and His blessings keep us. I think that in order to appreciate this prayer, we have to look at it at the time that David prayed. The morning prayer after a night of running, or a day of running, away from Absalom. There was peril. There was protection. There was prayer. There was peace. There was a plea that he made. And there was the prosperity that he enjoyed. The blessings of God. I hope in the morning when you wake up, the first thing you'll do will be think about this prayer. Remember that God sustains you. And as you face the duties and responsibilities of tomorrow, if the Lord lets you live till then, the very sentiment of this prayer will be yours. That tonight when you go to bed, your life will be in relationship to God, so that like David, in the morning when you wake up, you can say, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Now that's the morning prayer. Tonight, we'll talk about the evening prayer. David didn't just pray this one. All of it wasn't over. There were still things to be faced. And the fourth psalm is an evening prayer. If there's anything that we need to learn how to pray. Because prayer is an expression of, one, our need and our dependence upon God, and of our trust in Him. And the realization that the great blessings of life come through the provision that God has made. And so tonight we'll learn how to pray before we go to bed. Having this morning learned how to pray when we wake up. If you're not a Christian this morning, there's round about you perils on every side and stresses on and strain everywhere. How are you making out with it? How did you sleep last night? Like David? Wouldn't you like to be a Christian and have that blessing in your life? The promises of God and His protection. Knowing that when God blesses, there's not anything that really can harm or hurt. That can be yours. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God and repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, be baptized, and begin to live and to serve Him. If you've been a Christian and the anxiety of the world has pulled you away from God, made you forget Him, that relationship broken, it can be restored. Here through penitence, prayer, and confession, you'll come back and say, I want His blessings. I want the privilege of prayer. I want the peace that David had.